Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf kuf yud. We're holding the fourth line from the top of the amid at the two dots. Ahush shtar, daf ksiv bei shonin stama. There was a shtar where, as you know, even today, many shtarais, even on your checks, you have a blank which you have to fill in. And there was a blank there prior to the word years, and they forgot to fill it in. And therefore, all it says in the shtar is that this is a shtar for years. Now, what type of shtar? This was, Rashi says, a mashkanta desura. You all remember, we learned about mashkanta desura back in Perek. Hazov and Izeu Neshach. What is that all about? That has to do with the concern, which was very prevalent at the time, as it is today, about potential ribis or hidden ribis mechanisms. So one of the mechanics that they allowed for that is not a deemed ribis, even midrabanan, is something known as mashkanta desura. What is a mashkanta desura? It was a mashkin that was implemented in the town or the city of Sura, where it said in the shtar, mishlem shnai ilein, when the years of this shtar end, then this piece of property will leave without having to make any further payments. What's the lashon? Mishlam shnai ilein tepuk arado loy kether. This land will return to the original owner without having to make any further payments. What does all that mean? So this was a built-in self-amortizing mechanic, which, just to give a very simple example, let's assume we had a loan of $1,000. The loiva would allow the malve to work in the field and to use the field. It was the loiva's field. The loiva let the malve use it for 10 years, and then no matter whether the field produced lots of payers, or it was lousy year, there was a blight, and unfortunately nothing grew, after 10 years, he would have to go and give the property back to the loiva. Therefore, we're amortizing the loan on the basis of $100 a year, 10 times 100, is $1,000 altogether. So the Mishlam Shnai Yilein, when these years finish, Tepek Arado, this land will return back to the original loiva Balei Kesef without any further payments vis-a-vis the original loan, because now the loan has been paid off in total. Okay, so that's all very nice. So you have this type of mashkanta desura, and getting back to our Gemara, in the shtar, it said that after years, then this property is going to return back to the life. The question is, how many years? Malva omre sholish. Malva says you should fill in the blank with three. Unfortunately, no one filled in the blank, but that's what the deal was initially. So I can use the property and get the produce for 3 years. But the loiva omre shtayim, loiva says, sorry, Mr. Malva, you have a fundamental mistake. We only agreed to 2 years, and that's it, only 2 years. We are now at the beginning of the third year, and the Malva and the loiva tining back and forth, and before they had a chance to go to Besdin or resolve things, kodem Malva v'chlin l'peiri. The Malva went and stayed there for the third year over the loiva's protest. Loiva was not happy about it, but the Malva ate the payers of the third year. Well, eventually, what happens? These things come into Bethlehem. So now we have the machloikis between the dispute between the Malva and the loiva. Was the Malva entitled to eat the fruits of the third year for free? Not for free, but an amortizing the loan. Or the loiva said, no, the loan was already amortized over 2 years, and he had no business being in the property the third year. So does the Malva now have to pay for the payers that he ate throughout the third year? So me, Neman, who do we believe? The Malva, the life. Rav Yehuda Amar Karkim Chesed Balei Kayama. We always have a Kark, we have the Chazaka of the Balabatim. Who's the, well, the question is, who's the Muchzik right over here? So Rav Yehuda says the Muchzik is the one that owns the property. Who owns the property? The Loive. He's the Cheskis Balei Kayama. So therefore we have to assume that the loiva is right, the malva is wrong, and the malva has to pay for the third year for the eating of the payers.
And he also has the shtar that only says years, doesn't say 3 years.
That can work both ways. The fact that it says years, you say, Mir Ramishnaim, others would go and say, the fact that it says years altogether, and it doesn't fill it in, means that there was something more to that. In other words, it should have said the 3 years. Just the fact that it says blank years that indicates that something was to be filled in. Otherwise, years means just two. To me, Rav Mishnai. Anyway, they were not able to go and prove one way or the other. He ate the third year. Rav Kahana Omar Peiris Bechesus Oleim Kaimi. You know who happens to be the Muchzik? The Muchzik is the one that ate the Peiris already. Because after all, he ate them. They're in his stomach, so to speak. That being the case, you want to extract money from him. He's the Muchzik on his money, and it's the Loivu is the Moitzi, and he's the Muchzik. The Malvu is the Muchzik. So how do we pass him? Belchus Kabasi Rav Kahana, we pass like Rav Kahana, the Omar Peiris Bechesus Oleim Kaimi. The one that ate the Peiris, he's the one the Muchzik. And you want to go and get the money from the Malva, Loiva, you have to prove your point. Right tomorrow, really? But Kaimun Dilch the Kabasid of Nachman. The Omar Karka Bechesed Baldea Oimedes. We typically paskin like Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman holds that when we're talking about Shailas and Moitzi and Muchzik, the one that's a Muchzik is the Cheskes Bala. Now, where did Rav Nachman paskin this most recently? So Rashi reminds us, we had it not too long ago in the Gemara. There was a Shaila about an ambiguous term in a shtar. What was the ambiguous term? Someone was renting to the other person a beis hamerchus. Or,
yes,
it could have been just a plain field, or it could have been a house. But it turned out that it was a beis hamerchus. And they wrote in the shtar that the rental payment for this beis hamerchus is 12 zehuvim lishana, dinar zohav lachoydish. 12 zehuvim, 12 golden coins, dinrim, for the year, which comes out to be one dinner for each month. Normally, there wouldn't be a problem. However, guess what? The Bezin decided to make a leap year. Now we have 13 months. Question is, since it says 12 zuvim for the year, a year is whatever the year is, and if the year is 13 months, you only have to pay 12. On the other hand, since it says dinner zov l'choidish, they're 13 months, you have to pay 13 dinner. So we had a whole discussion earlier, who's right, who's wrong? Does the maskil get the benefit of the 13th month, or does the soicher get the benefit of having that full year of 13 months with only having to pay 12 dinar? We had a three-way machlokes, Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Karka b'cheses ba'leo imedes, and since who the ba'alem, that's the maskir. Whatever the maskir says, what the deal was, and therefore if he says, you got to go and pay me 13. You got to go and pay 13. So we see that Rav Nachman holds Karka b'ches b'aleo imenes. And we paskin like that Rav Nachman. Hilchus HaKavas Rav Nachman. So how are we paskining over here? Like Rav Kahana, the Peiris b'ches k'seilein kaimi. After all, Rav Yehuda, who's disputing Rav Kahana, Rav Yehuda says Karka b'ches b'aleo imenes. That's exactly like Rav Nachman. There we paskin like Rav Nachman. Here we paskin like Rav Kahana. We have now a clash between these two halachas. Everything more. There, in that situation, there's no way that we're going to be able to prove. Meaning, because that's really not a dispute in facts. That is a dispute in halacha. Whether or not you have to interpret these words as 12 months, or I should say, an annual payment of 12, regardless of whether they're 12 months or 13 months, or whether the language of this shtar should be interpreted, no, not as an annual payment, but as a monthly payment. Regardless whether you make one payment, you pay in installments, it doesn't matter. The question is, what is the rate that you have to pay? There's no way we're going to be able to decide it based on a fact pattern. We're going to have to decide it based on legal. Since it's a legal issue, says the Gemara, we follow the precept that Rav Nachman has told us. In our situation, there's no machlokes in how to interpret the words. It's a machlokes, what was the intent of the draftsman when they wrote the shtar? We have no knowledge presently as to whether the shtar was written 2 years ago, 3 years ago, what the term was supposed to be. You have a blank line there. Zok Gemara, Hocham milsa davide l'gluyehi. There is a good possibility that eventually either the Malva or the Leiva will be able to go and find the Soifer or Edim or someone who will remember when this loan took place, when the Mashkanta was signed, this Mashkanta de Surah, etc. And therefore, says Imar, Vatruchi Beidina Trezimni Le Mitrachin, and to go me Matriach Bezin two times, we don't want to be Matriach. What does that mean? If we're going to go and cause the Malva to have to cough up monies now to go and pay for that third year, so the Bezin has already adjudicated once. In other words, if we follow what Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman said, and therefore the malva has to go and pay. What happens if in a year from now, or 2 years from now, the malva is able to go and find two edim, that's it? No, in fact, the malva was right and the loiva was wrong. Then we're going to have to go to Bezdin again, and then the loiva is going to have to go and pay back the malva. So therefore the Bezdin will have had to, quote-unquote, be matriach itself and be in session twice for this single case. So you're going to go and say, well, how is that different than if it's the other way around? Because if it's the other way around, if we're going to go and say that the malva doesn't have to go and pay, and rather that it's the loiva that will have to incur the loss, if the malva subsequently is able to go and bring edim that he was right, no, he was right all along, he didn't have to go and pay, and everything was fine. If you have a situation where the loiva afterwards is able to go and bring edim that he was right, okay, the malva didn't pay anything until now, he'll pay now for the first time. So you won't have to have a back and forth, first malva pay, and then the loiva having to repay him. It'll only be one time that the Bezin will have to adjudicate that someone has to put up funds and make a payment. So that's why the Gemara says the two cases are not alike. But let's now go from a case of 2 and 3 years to now a case of 5 and 3 years. This is Rashi says, it's a brand new case. So just based on the blank line, we have no indication how many years. It says Malva was a 5 year mashkin, the Loiva says a 3 year mashkin. So now the Loiva says to the Malva, 3 years have already passed, and I'm telling you it's my property, and it was only for 3 years. Malva, if you say otherwise, show me your shtar. Omalei, shtar irchasli. I'm sorry, I lost the shtar, I cannot find it. Omer of Yehuda. Malva neman, the malva is believed. Why is the malva believed? He can go and say, I bought it. I mean, you agreed that I'm here for 3 years. During that 3 year period, you didn't make a macha. As you know, we're going to learn in Chesk Sabbatim, which Mendy already announced the good news this morning that we're going to have a Siyam HaMasech B'Matzim. We're going to start Bava Basra. We get into Bava Basra. We'll learn that after 3 years, after a person buys a piece of property, he does not have to hold on to his shtar any longer. All he has to do is bring proof that he's been there for 3 years. And guess what? He has proof, because everybody agrees, both the Malva and the Loiva, he's been there for 3 years. So then the Malva is Ne'eman because he has a Migui. What's his Migui? Migui could have said, not only is this a 5 year and not a 3 year mashkanta, he could have said, I bought the property, it belongs to me for the next 100 years, or at least until Yoivam. And so therefore, Zukti Yimara, he could have said the Kuchim Yavi. So believe him when he says the smaller of the 5 years as opposed to the Loivu saying the 3 years.
But if it's 3 years, the Malve would normally have the shtar in a case of a loan. If he purchased it, he would also have a shtar. Okay, all right, okay.
Omli Rapapa L'Rabashi. Said Rapapa L'Rabashi, Rav Zvid. Rav Avira loisvirlu hadrav chizda. Hadrav Yehuda. That Rav Yehuda just paskin that we believe the malva mit the migoy. Rav Zvid and Rav Avira respectfully disagree. My taima, haishtara kibin dim guvayna koi. Since this mashkanta de surah is part and parcel of a promissory note of a halva, mizir zorbe, he would normally be very, very concerned to hold on to this document to be able to continue eating from the field. After all, it doesn't belong to him, it belongs to the loiva. So that's that the malva is using the field and he's eating from it. That's part of his collection on the loan. That would normally be a very valuable document that he would want to hold on to very, very carefully. When it comes to a shtar mikna, a sale document, says Rashi, since we know from Chesk Sabbatim that as long as you've been there for 3 years without anybody being moicha, you no longer have to worry about your shtar. There, in fact, the fact that you do not have a shtar is not a reyesa. It's not a blemish on your record. People know you don't have to hold on to shtar as more than 3 years. But here we're talking about not a shtar mikvah, we're talking about a shtar the gavain is for collection. Collection shtar, people are very careful about those shtars because they're worried the person shouldn't go and take away the property and say, it's my property, it's not yours. He wants to collect, especially he wants to collect for 5 years, not for 3 years. This is something normally a person would be very, very careful. And you know what? He has the shtar, but he was kovish it. Kovish means that he went and, in a sense, conquered it, suppressed it. Oh, that's the right word. He suppressed it so that nobody should know what it says in the shtar, because the shtar maybe really only says 3 years, and not 5 years. Now, why did he suppress the shtar? Sover oichle tarjish nyeserta. I mean, if I can, why shouldn't I try to go and eat another 2 years rent-free and be able to get all the income at Givaldik? And so therefore, chamoira that the malva is lying, and we do not trust him with the migoy. Don't tell me he could have said the kuchi biyadi. The kuchi biyadi is taka good to svar the gabi shtar mikna. But now with the gabi shtar halva, that people are usually very, very careful about. Omli Rabbeinu Ravashi, elamayata, based on this svara of Rav Zvid and Rav Avira, that I don't even understand. Elamayata, hay mashkanta de surah, the kasvi hochi. This mashkanta de surah that we've been speaking about this morning. What does it say in the Loshem and Mishlam Shania Elaine when these years end? Take Bakara double kes if this land will return to its original owner without any further payment. Hecha de kafshi l'shtar mashkanta, v'yom de kuchi biyadi, achanami de mehemen. What the Gemara is saying is that based on what Rav Yehuda said, that a malva can say in our situation that I could have said l'kuchi biyadi, and all I said was I owned it for 5 years, therefore embrace me and hug me for telling you the truth. I had a migui that I could have taken this property away altogether. I'm a nice guy. I didn't say l'kuchi biyadi. I agreed it was only a mashkin. I can't find my shtar. I'm so sorry. But give me the migui that I could have said it's l'kuchi biyadi. Therefore, let me stay at least for 2 years. Said Rav Yehuda, yeah, that works. So says the Gemara, based on that svara, why would the Chachamim go and even institute a mashkanta desura, which says at the end of these years, then the whole loan is amortized? This leads to the very issue that we're discussing in our Gemara, which is that any time a mashkanta desura is more than 3 years, which typically it was, because we're trying to amortize a loan over several years to be able to go and pay off the loan. So anytime you have a mashkanta desura, which is more than 3 years, you could always have this issue where the malva will say, sorry, I can't find my shtar, you know, I'm very, very sorry. Remember, they didn't have Xerox copy machines and they didn't have electronic files that you could put things away. So how many copies of a document did you have? The only one that really needed it was the malva, because the malva is the one that's collecting on the loan. The loiva had no need for shtaris. In fact, the loiva needs money. He doesn't need shtaris. And so therefore, the malva could easily take any mashkanta de sura after 3 years, be kovish, suppress it, say, I have the right to eat here another 10 years, 12 years, 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is. I don't have the shtar to show you, so I lost it. And then that will cause tremendous havoc in the financial markets and among Klal Yisrael. Why would the Chachom see fit to go and make such an institution, the Mashkanta de Surah, that can only lead to this situation like we have in our Gemara? El Miata, again, Hay Mashkanta Surah, the Kasi Hachi, Mishlech Shnayim Milein, Tepik Dara Abla Kesef, Hecha de Kavshe de Shtar Mashkanta. Anytime you have more than a 3 year Mashkin, where the Malva can be Kovish, suppress the Shtar, the Omen he'll say, the Kuchi Biyadi, it belongs to me, and you weren't Moicha in 3 years. Hachan Amid Mehemen, you're going to go and say, each time he's Mehemen. In other words, what happens if he's really aggressive, and he's not going to go and say, bleed me with a migoy, and therefore allow me to stay for 2 years. Allow me to stay here forever. I bought it. Go and prove otherwise. I was here for 3 years. Chesed Sabatim says I don't need any proof other than neighbors that testify that I've been here for 3 years. I have 50 neighbors that are willing to go and stand online and say, Bezin, yeah, I was here. He was every single day he worked in the field. Every single day he slept in the house. We know if he's been there 3 years consistently and constantly, so he should always be believed. And therefore, with the Chachamim in their great wisdom, legislate and enact something that can so easily be used chas v'sholem for a fraud, for deception. Doesn't sound right. So how could a view to say we believe him with this migoy thing? Otherwise, person will always take a mashkanta de surah and make a migoy, maybe even not make a migoy, say the kuchi biyadi belongs to me altogether. Amalei, told him, what you've asked is an excellent question, and the rabbis built in special safeguards against that possibility. What are the safeguards? Amalei hasam tekin l'rabbanan. Tamari ara yohiv taska, the kori karia. Arad, period. The Chamum Misakin, just to make sure that you don't have a malva tining in every single case of Meshkan, the Surah, the Kuchi Biyadi, make sure that although, since he is the one that's working the land for the next 3, 4, 5, 10 years as the malva in this Meshkan to the Surah, but who is going to pay for the annual real estate tax? It's going to be the loiva. As well as, who is the one that's going to make sure that the land has proper borders around it? That's going to be the loiva. But the fact that the loiva continues to have certain financial obligations during that period of time, the Meshkan to the Surah, that undermines any claim that the malva has, I bought it. You bought it? I looked up the registry. You know who paid the real estate taxes for the last 3 years? The loiva. Well, why didn't you pay the taxes if you're the owner? Well, I forgot. What do you mean you forgot? That would be the safeguard to make sure that this Meshkan to the Surah doesn't lead to wholesale frauds on the part of Malvin. So
the Malvin could theoretically pay the real estate taxes.
He could theoretically, but the loiva will go and pay it before him, or there'll be a double payment, and then the government is going to say, hey, well, they'll accept the money, but that we know. But the point is, the fact that the loiva continues to pay, that will be the raya that it belongs to him. Korikari ara, meaning that he goes and continues carving out the border, just in case the border is settled. And we've had in other Gemaras that one of the ways that they made the border was that they would pile up heaps of earth around the whole boundaries of the property, but over time that would settle, and then they would have to go and add more layers and more layers. So the one that was in charge of that was the loiva. It's not the loiva's property. Why is he doing that? Is that those were the simonim that were built in that the loiva continues to own the property. Says Yimor, that's very, very good in your normal standard properties. What happens to less lokari of a loiva of taska mai? There are certain properties, less lokari meaning that they didn't have such fancy borders, or maybe it had a wall around it, or a fence, or whatever, so it wasn't necessary to go and constantly improve on the borders, as well as it could be that this property was a tax-exempt property. The Gemara doesn't say why it would be tax-exempt. Rashi seems to indicate, if you look at Rashi, Rashi has a little bit slightly different girsa, halfway into the wide lines down below. The Ara Kanyahu. Our Gemara doesn't say the Ara Kanyahu, just says in our Gemara that those properties, the Loyoiv Taska. So Rashi says, the Lesley Taska, the Karya, Nami Lesley, my Levit. Those properties where there is no tax. Again, it doesn't say why there's no tax. The Art Scroll says that there's another Gemara that refers to Ara Kalanya. There, that's talking about a tax exempt property. And the Art Scroll speculates that that's where Rashi gets his Kanya from, that it really is, should be Kalanya. The article does not explain what's the reason for the tax-exempt status. We've had other Gemaras that say that in certain times the local authorities would exempt, for instance, the rabbis from having to go and pay taxes. So maybe that's the situation. Whatever the situation was, if you have a tax-exempt property, and the borders don't need this constant maintenance and repair, so what will be the siman? A Malay. So he told him, in such a case, Daka the loiva, every 3 years is going to have to make a public protest of sorts. Doesn't have to make a major demonstration, but he's going to have to send notices or put up a sign or call together Adam, whatever, to go and be moicha that even though the Malv is using this property for the last 2.5 years, almost 3 years, however, 3 years about to pass, I want people to know the property is still mine, and I'm just letting him use it because of the Meshkan to the Surah. What happens if he decides not to exercise his right to be Moicha? No, then it's his own problem, it's a self-inflicted wound. He has to go and protect his rights. Okay, on to another similar type of shaila. Oris oimer lemechzi yiradati, ubalabayis oimer lishlish hayiradativ. We have a situation over here, they have a sharecropper, and he's working for the balabus. Apparently he's brand new, because now, apparently after the first year, we have a dispute as to how much the oris is sharing in the crop is. Is it lemechza, or is it lishlish? Yes, you've guessed right. It's the oris that says, we agreed to a 50-50 split, And the Balabu says that we only agreed to a two-thirds, one-third split. He only gets a third.
Interesting, because we said earlier that the Shlish and Revia was what the Balabai retained.
Mm-hmm.
In this Gemara, it seems like that's what the Aris is.
And who asked that kasha when we discussed it? Toysa then. What did Toysa answer?
I don't remember the answer. I remember the kasha.
Okay. So Toysa says, V'chol HaShas, we always find like our Gemara over here, that the smaller amount is the one that goes to
the Aris.
Aris. In that other Gemara, it suggests that it was the other way around. And Toysa said that the reason is because there it's talking about that the Balabas typically pays for certain overhead expenses, and here the Aris was paying. If you want to go back to Toysis, it's Kuf Gimel Amid Beis. Top Toysis, 103b. Top Toysis. Ba'azl Hu V'yavriva. Ta'ima. D'hocha Masha D'balabayis Shokel Pachis Mina Oris. U'b'chol Duchdi Masha She'oris Noitel Pachis K'namrina Mimish Achso. And our Gemara. Kuli Alma Dolom Tlas V'shakli Riva V'yad Doli Abba V'shakel Tiltza V'kam B'pirkin Nami Amrin and Oris Amelam Machzi Yerati Balabayis Amishlish Yerati. Our very Gemara, right? Today's Gemara. Masha Oris Rogalita Pachas Your Kash V'yishloim Adoch Ayri She'oris Noisin Zera V'chol Duch Di'ari She'a Balabayis Noisin Zera Oy Bikromum Pardesim She'tzorach Zera, etc. In other words, it depends who pays for the overhead expenses. If the Balabas is paying the overhead expenses, then
he gets a larger share.
He gets a larger share of the profits. On the other hand, if it's the Oris that's paying the overhead expenses, then he gets the larger share. Makes sense, right? Anyway, so getting back to Argumar. So Argumar is talking about the normal situation, which is Roiv of Shas, that says that the Oris gets less because it's the Balabas that's paying for the seeds and whatever other overhead expenses. So getting back to Argumar, so the Oris says, L'mechziratzi, I'm supposed to get a half. The Balabai says, no. The Shisha Radatav, we only agreed to a third. Me, Neman, who do we believe? Rav Yehuda Omar, Balabai is Neman. Rav Nachman Omar, Hakol Keminig HaMedina. Now, the Gemara assumes that since we have a dispute between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman, that although Rav Nachman used the term Hakol Keminig HaMedina, what he was really meant to say is that the Oris is Neman. Here it says, Rav Yehuda says the Balabai is, and Rav Nachman says the Oris. So, Mina, Loi Pligi. Maybe there's no machlekes at all. What do you mean no machlekes? Ho bi'asa de shokel harisa palgo, bi'asa de shokel harisa tilsa. It really depends on the minig amakim. In many, many different communities, the split up between the balabas and the oris was 50-50. In many other communities, it was two-thirds, one-third. Why did they develop different minhagim over the years? Maybe in certain communities, the land was tougher. Maybe in certain communities, to go and hire workers to go and help out in tilling the land, and plowing the land, and finding oxen, in taking the payers to market. I mean, there could have been all different types of factors that affect financial arrangements between Balabatim and their workers or their sharecroppers. And so, for whatever reason, here was 50-50, other place two-thirds, one-third, and there's no machlokes. Amr Rameri bro de Bashmul, Hachi Amr Abaye, no. Afilu bi'asa de shokla risa palga, pligi, no, the machlokes applies even in the places, Lamushal, where the Oris typically gets 50%. Av Yehuda Amr Balabayis Neman, still the Balabayis is Neman when he says, Lishlish hoiratative. Why? The boy Omar schiri lekitihu. Because he could always say, I have a migui. Not only did we make up for one-third instead of 50%, he's not even a sharecropper. He just happens to be a regular schir yon. And therefore, schir yon, I'm happy to go and pay him, of course, $10 a day, whatever it is, throughout the entire harvest season, or whatever the work he did, which presumably comes out to less than one-third of the take of all the produce. And so therefore, the reason why the Gemara brought this is presumably because it's consistent with the first Rav Yehuda that we had. Rav Yehuda says he could have said more, and therefore he has a migoy when he says less. For instance, Rav Yehuda said earlier he could have been kovish the shtar and said that the whole property belongs to me. I bought the property. I don't have the shtar anymore because it's more than 3 years. I don't need to. Migoy that he could have said. The kuchibiyad is believed to go and say 5 years. That's what Rav Yehuda had before. Here too, the same Rav Yehuda says, Rabbi, he could have been a real ganef. He could have said that this guy only deserves to go and get the normal daily wage, weekly wage, whatever it is, which is far less than the sharecropping. So now when he says it was a third, believe him that he said, tak a third and not 50%.
What's the kiti? Here he is, my hired worker. The kiti is...
The difference between a socher and a loket is a socher means he's a hired worker for any and all types of activities. Loket was a hired worker that
for
was farm work. For harvesting.
Okay.
He was not the planter, and he was not the one that was there the whole winter season. He only was the one that was called upon to do the harvesting when it came to harvest season. That's to be located, to go and collect and harvest. Similar, yeah, exactly. Okay, so we're back to. Now we have a situation where a Bal Choyv is collecting on his lien. We've had this many, many times, that under normal circumstances in the good old days when people took loans, they made sure that it was secured, to the extent that generally we hold that a chray is toy cipher, which therefore if you have a loan between a loiv and a malva, even if it doesn't say it expressly, whatever properties the loiva owns at the time of that halva are automatically impressed with a lien to pay off this loan. So that at the termination, at the maturity date of the loan, if the loiv is not able to pay, then the mal can go and collect from any one of the properties that were there at the time, even if they're no longer in the hands of the loiv has sold them. So loiv has sold his properties, and now the malva says, "Nu loiv pay up, chonish kegelt. Do you have any real estate? I sold them all. Who did you sell them to? A whole bunch of people. Yanka Smith, Beryl Jones, whatever." So now he goes over to one of those properties, and he, the balchoiv, forecloses on his lien and takes that property away. What happens if that property in the interim was improved upon? Meaning at the time that the loiva owned it, it was a regular piece of property. Maybe it was only worth at that time $1,000. And in the meantime, it was sold, and the person who bought it, we're now getting a little bit onto the Amid Beis. Let's not get to that he sold it. Let's talk about simply that the loiva passed away. And now the malva is collecting on the real estate. The real estate is still in the hands of the estate. Now it belongs to the assignment. And the question is, when were improvements made to this property to make it nicer, better, and of course more financially attractive, that it now commands a higher price? So now we have a dispute. We have a dispute between the assignment and between the Bal Choyv. The Bal Choyv says, "I remember before Yankel Smith passed away that he had already invested a lot of money to renovate and rejuvenate and refresh and refurbish this property, and therefore the fact that the property today is shining and is beautiful, that was already there at the time that Yankel Smith was still alive. And since I have a lien on that property, I want to take the whole property to pay off the chayv." Mashenk and the Yisoyim say, "Oh, come on, you have a very faulty memory. Because at the time that he passed away, one of the reasons he passed away was because of the financial grief that he had, that he couldn't pay his bills. He wanted to renovate, he wanted to refurbish, but unfortunately, these were only pipe dreams. He wasn't able to accomplish that. We, the assignment, over the period of time since father passed away, we were the ones that were able to get new cash, were able to borrow, whatever, and Baruch Hashem, we refurbished it. What's an afkamin? An afkamin is who gets the benefit of the additional accreted value as a result of those renovations. So, Mamru, Anu Hishbachnu, we were the ones that were mashbiach, we made it more valuable, and that part belongs to us. You don't have a claim on the shvach, you only have a claim on the original property. No, it was your father that did it. Al-Mila Habiraya, who is the one that has the burden of proof? The Sava Reb Chanina Lameima, Reb Chanina wanted to say, normal case of a muchzik. Who are the muchzakim? Those are the assignment. They say it's our property. We put the shvach in it, and so therefore we should believe them. If the balchoyv wants to disprove them, he has the burden of proof. He's the moitzi mechabera. Amluhu halusaba. Now you're going to tell us who halusaba is.
It's except with one exception, Eliyahu Hanavi.
Good. And according to Yesh Mefarshim, not that everybody agrees that. But anyway, Amluhu Saba, Hachi Yom Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan respectfully disagrees. Al Hayesoyim Lahavi Raya. The Yesoyim have to go and prove their point about the Shvach. My time, what's the reason why? I'll tell you why. Arakim Deluguvayne Kaima. This property is destined to be foreclosed upon by the Balchoyf. In fact, that's what he's doing. He's now foreclosing on it. Any type of property that is ro'oi for foreclosure is keman de gav yedami. You could look upon it as if it's already foreclosed upon. And therefore, you're saying that the yisayim are the muchzik. It's the lien holder, which is the Balchoyf. He is the muchzik, because he is the one that has the piece of paper that says, if you don't go and pay by the maturity date, it's my property. And unfortunately, Yanko Smith passed away. He never paid. Maturity date is come and gone. So now it belongs to the loiva. So don't tell me that the assignment, yeah, physically they're holding on to it now. But legally, it doesn't belong to the assignment. It belongs to the lien holder, which is the mother.
Does that require it to be a particular property? I mean, because...
We're going to talk about that particularly.
Okay.
Omer Rabbi, Afanam Namitanina, I'll even bring you a raya to what you just said now with the Hahusaba, which may be Aliyah Novi, said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Aliyasam Lavirai. What's the right? Sof Exe Kodam, Koitzitz Ve'ina Noisen Dom. Al Makim de la Makitz Kaima, Amrin Alei Aisi Rai Vishkol, Ochanamin Haishtore, Kim de Grain de Kaima, Kim de Gabi Domi, Liyasam Lavirai. What is this all about? This Sofik Zekodam, this is a Gemara which we're going to have in Mirtu Shem shortly in another couple of weeks in Bava Basra. What does it say there in Bava Basra? It says that an elon, a tree, can often grow very, very long, long roots. And these long roots can unfortunately can interfere with other structures. In particular, for instance, if you have a be'er or a bor shel rabin, where you have a board which is being used by the entire community, if a person goes and digs and plants a tree near it, even within 50 amos, if it's one of those types of trees that develops these long, 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 long roots, eventually these roots may come and destroy the wall of the board, and the whole board is going to collapse, and that's going to endanger the entire community. So it says in the Gemara there in Bava Basra, which we'll get to in Daf Chof Dalet, that there are three possible cases. Case number one is that the elon was planted first, and then after that, the local municipality went and established over there a bar, or a bear, and therefore the elon guy came first. When we're talking always within 50 amas. Then the other possibility, of course, is the reverse, that the bar came first, and then the person next door, he started planting his elon, and now the elon is now causing danger. Or, number three, we don't know. It's been many years. We don't remember which came first, the chicken or the egg, or, in this case, the tree or the bar. So it says there in the Gemara that if we don't know what to do, halach is, first we do is we cut down the tree. As to whether or not we have to go and pay the balabas, we'll see. If, in fact, the balabas was the one that planted the elon first, then he deserves compensation, because, after all, he was there first. If the bar was there first, then he doesn't deserve compensation. Whether he deserves or doesn't deserve, that will leave for a rainy day for the peasants to decide. But in the meantime, since this elon happens to be a danger to the bar, then we, as the government of this municipality, we have the right to go and force him to go and cut it down. So what do I see from that situation? What I see from that situation is the Gemara. Self-exec-cut. I don't really know who came first, whether it was the planter of the tree or the person that dug out the bar, the municipality dug out the bar. Koitis. The first thing is, you cut down the tree, because you're entitled to cut down the tree. Anyway, only question is, do you have to go pay? That will leave for a further discussion. So koitis vein nois and dumb. So alma, kivin del make its kaima, the law is certainly going to be cut down the tree. Amrina le, I see rayushkar. First, cut. And then, you, the tree owner, you're going to have to go and prove that you were there first. Everybody agrees for sure that vis-a-vis the assignment, this Balchoyv has the right to go and collect on the property, and in fact he's in the middle of collecting. The only question is he entitled to only 90% of the property, or is he entitled to 100%? That 10% meaning the additional shvach, the renovations and improvements that were made by somebody. But clearly, he's entitled to the property. As Kim Gil Gavayna Kaima, Kiman the Gav Yedami, it's as if he was already Goyve, therefore it will be the Yisoyim that they're going to have to go and prove their case, whether or not they did the improvements, or whether their father did the improvements. And that's the end of this discussion. So now the Gemara says, okay, so let's assume that it's the assignment fact that have to go approve, like Rabbi Yochanan said, like the Saba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, like Abaye says, I have a raya to Rabbi Yochanan. Fine. So I see Asmi raya the Inu Ashbachi. The assignment ultimately were able to talk approve through records and through Edom that they were the ones of Mashiach. I'm sorry?
Satellite photos.
Satellite photos. They can go and show the contracts that were made with gardeners and with construction people and planters, all of those post-dating the demise Nebuch of their father. And so we see all of these improvements and renovations were done now after the father passed away. Okay, so they brought a raya. So now they're entitled to, let's assume again the shvach, let's say it's 10%, they're entitled to go and get 10% of the money, the value, which was their shvach. So now the question is, can you go, and so Reb Chanina didn't say B'lash and Bitmia, but Reb Chanina said that now when the Bal Choyf says goodbye to the assignment because he took the property, now the question is, how does he pay for the Shvach? The assignment proved that they put the Shvach in. Are the assignment only entitled to the value of the cash? Good. Or are the assignment entitled to go and get a piece of the property? They said, listen, this property was worth 1,000. It's now worth 1,100. You know, give us 1/10 of the property, 1/11, the bottom of the gav. Give us part of the property because of the improvements that we made. So, that they could go and insist that they want a piece of the land. So, that's not the case. That they only are entitled to get cash. There are three categories of people that are entitled to shvach, and they don't get the property, they only get the cash. So b'chor l'pashut is very simple. As we know, b'chor is noikal pishnayim, b'chol asher yimotzei loy. The Gemara says that a b'chor only gets two portions in what that is motzui, and not even something which is ro'ui lovai. It's got to be that the time of the demise of the father, then you go and measure how much property was in the estate at that moment. B'chor gets pishnayim, b'chor only gets one. What happens if post-mortem, during the Shiva period, during the Shloishim, during the year, before they have a chance to go and subdivide the property, Baruch Hashem, the property has improved because of planting, because of the market forces, whatever it happens to be. But it's all post-mortem. What happens now? So now it's splitting up the property, literally. In Bechor Leposhet, we have a large piece of real estate. It's a chvais, in Israel, they were talking about dunam, 300 dunam. We give 200 to the Bechor, 100 to the Poshet. But the problem is that after the father passed away, the entire 300 dunam went up in price because of improvements and renovations. What happens with that? Then the Poshet says, admittedly, you're the Bechor. You're getting two portions, I get one. But that's only what the father owned then. It has now gone up in value 10%, 20%, 50% since father died. I want to get 50% of that. Then Avada, the Poshet is entitled to go and get 50% of the post-mortem additional value. So now, how does he get paid? Can he say, well, because of that, I want an additional sliver of land? Says he more, no. They make a cheshbon how much it's worth more and how much the Bechor has taken over the Poshet because it's 2/3, 1/3, and the Poshet is entitled to 50-50 post-mortem. He'll make the cheshbon and the Bechor will have to hand it over in cash. Same thing about Chayv Ksuvus Yishal Yisayimim. That's our case, the Baal Chayv Yisayimim, that the Yisayimim made the Shvach and they're entitled to keep the Shvach because they did the renovations. So what happens? Says Rav Nachman Amishmul, directly on point on our case, what happens? Then the Bachoyev does not have to give them a piece of the action. He can go and give them money. Finally, Ubalchayev Lekuchais. This is what I was introducing when we said back on the beginning, on the bottom of the Amud Aleph. Instead of Balchayev Yisayim, you have Ubalchayev Lekuchais. That Ubalchayev went and he's now collecting on his lien on a property that was sold by the Loi B'tu Lekeach. The Lekeach said, yeah, but I improved the property since I bought it from the Mocheh, from the Leiva, and therefore you have a right to go and take away the property, but not the Shvach. You're right. You have to pay him for the Shvach, but you don't get a piece of land for that. You go and give him the dump. Anyway, what do I see clearly? Not like Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina said, "Misalkin lehu ba'ara." No. We have Nachman and Shmuel that said you have a case of Ar Bal Chayli Yisayimim, as well as those other cases, you can give bedar. Is that really what Shmuel holds? Remember, there's Rav Nachman and Shmuel. Ah, you miss leishvach lekech. So does lekech even collect from Shvach? Shmuel holds that Bal Choyv collects the entire Shvach, and he does not have to go and pay the lekech. In other words, a property which has gone up in value since the lekech bought it, because the lekech invested funds in it, and now the Bal Choyv goes and takes away that property, he can take the whole property lock, stock, and barrel, even with the improvements and the renovations. What would be the svara for that? After all, why should he be entitled to that? The answer is because in the original sales agreement between the Lova, that was the original owner, who sold it to Lekeach, he told them, I'm going to take care of any adverse takage of your property, not only by paying you back your purchase price, but also for the payers and for the Shvach and the improvements. So therefore, the Loive is on the hook for that. And says, therefore, the Bal Choyv says, you have to anyway go and collect on your purchase price from the good man that sold this to you, the Loive. Well, you're not only going to have to collect on the original purchase price, but also the Shvach, the improvements that you make, because that's what it says in the document. And so therefore, Shmuel says the Bal Choyv collects the Shvach. He doesn't have to pay anything. You just said in the name of Shmuel. He doesn't have to go give him a sliver of land, but he has to go and pay him the domin. That was the third case, right? The Bal Choyv Lekuches. And the very same Shmuel says, he doesn't pay a penny. It's a chastira Shmuel and Shmuel. V'chitayim, maybe you're going to go and differentiate. L'kashe, kamishvach ha-magia l'ktafayim, l'ksofim. Kamishvach she-magia l'ksofim. What does that mean? Ksofim means shoulders. Shoulders means that when you would go and collect all the fruit from the property, you would go, or the fruit or the produce, you'd put it in large boxes or sacks, and you would have to go and schlep it from the property to the agolois or to the behemoths to go and have them take it further. So you would go and normally carry it on your back or on your shoulders. You'd have a sack on the back of your shoulders, just like the scene that you have in your mind when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they're carrying their belongings on their shoulders. Ah, so now the question is, what type of shvach are we referring to? The shvach Avar Gimor is now referring to, says Rashi, peiros, which are almost ready to be harvested, as opposed to peiros, which are still mid-season. And then, of course, there's a third category. Those are peiros which have already been harvested, which are sitting around in the field. And those peiros which are sitting around in the field, those clearly are not subject to the lien. The lien is only on real estate. It's not on metalklin. But here we're talking about peiros which are still attached to, in the case of grapes, to the vines, or in case of other types of fruits, to the tree, to the branches, or talking about potatoes, sure, or anything else which is based on the ground, they're also almost ready to be plucked or to be harvested. However, they're not, yes, another 3 days, another week. So Shmach HaMegir HaKsofim, which is almost ready to be cut. The question is, what's the status of those? So those peiros which are still requiring the ground, or the trees, for them to be ripened, they're buckled to the karka, thank you. And just like there's a lien on the property itself, there's a lien on any growth which is attached to the ground, which requires that attachment for the next week, two, three, six, whatever, until the harvest season. Ah, so that becomes buckled. So then you can go be goyve not only the trees, or not only the ground, but also whatever is attached, because though the ground needs it, and it needs the ground, otherwise these peiros are, if you're going to go and cut them prematurely, they're inedible. They're worthless. It's gunishvet. So therefore, it's part of the property. Ah, that's when Shmuel said, Baal choy v'goy v'seshvach, when it's shvach, she'ein magia l'ksavim, they're not ready to be harvested yet. In the first case, however, where Nachman said, Namah Shmuel, that the Baal choyv takes the peiros, but he has to go and pay the lekuchos, that's too much shvach ha-magia l'ksavim, meaning that they're almost ready yet. If they were already on the ground, there's nothing to talk about. Then the Bal Choyv couldn't even look at them. They're metalfin, they're not karka. But to shvach ha-magia l'ksofim, it's still attached, but you know, the workers are coming tomorrow to go and cut it, or 2 days from now. So they're ready to be cut. So therefore, in that situation, says Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, yes, since you're still attached to the ground and you're exercising and foreclosing on your lien, you take it with these payers, but since the payers are ready to be cut, then you're going to have to go and pay the shvach back to the lekech. So that lechoyer is a good teretz, and no kash. But I have a problem with that. For masim b'chol yevikom magni Shmuel afin l'bishmach ha-magia l'ksofim. Shmuel held like the second Shmuel, that Baal Choyv goyves ha-shvach, even b'shmach ha-magia l'ksofim, which is ready to be cut and ready to be harvested. He didn't say you have to go and pay. He said you can take the whole thing and you, lekech, you'll work it out with the mocher, with the loyver. So this teretz lechoyer doesn't fly. So it's more like kasha. Sinishve. It's a very, very simple, elementary teretz, and that is, what was the value of the original, what was the amount of the original halva? If the original halva was $1,000, and the original property was worth $1,000, but with the additional shvacha megil itzofen, now it's worth $1,100. And of course, then I don't deserve to get $1,100, I only deserve to get $1,000. My chayv is only $1,000, so then I have to go and give back. What, when I have to give back that shvach, guess what? If the shvach happens to be, even if it's shvach ha-megilik sofim, which I'm taking for myself, but I have to pay for it, I don't have to pay with karka, I can go and pay bitamin. However, in a situation where the shvach, together with the original land, is worth the value of the amount of the original loan was 1100, the karka was worth 1000, but now it has this additional shvach, now it's worth 1100, it's worth 1100, then you can go and keep everything. Then Shmuel said you can go and be goyva afil shvach ha-megiel itzofen, because together it's worth the full $1,100. How is he going to get paid in money? He has to go back to the mocher to go and collect on that shvach. Frank Timur, v'chi lo yimasik shir aro shvach, diyov li zuzi lekech, u'mesalik le. You just finished saying that in those cases where the lekech is entitled to go and get money, where the amount of the loan is less than the arushvach, the yovli zuz lekech, that the bachoiv does have to pay money, the difference to the lekech, umesalik le, and then says goodbye to him. Honich leman yemi is le zuz lekech le matzim mesalik le the bachoiv shapir. What's he more asking? There happens to be a universal machloikis about the original loan. Forgetting about the shvach now. What happens any single time a Baal Choyv comes to Lekech and says, Lekech, you don't know me, I don't know you, but this property is mine. Why is the property yours? I bought it from Yankel Smith. Yeah, the Yankel Smith borrowed money from me 5 years ago, and you should have called up all of your registry experts, and they would have told you that there's a lien on the property for my loan, and therefore I'm taking your property away. Is the Lekech able to go and tell him, okay, I hear you, how much was the loan? $1,000. You know what? Here, I give you $1,000. Let me stay in the property. I like this property. I've been living here. I've been working on it. It's Kabbalik. I want to keep it. Does he have that right? Or does the Baal Chayv say, no, I have my eyes on this property already for years, that if the loiv is not going to go and pay, I'm going to go and collect from this property. I don't know you. I only know the property. The property, I have a lien on it. My lien is prior to your purchase. So who's right and who's wrong? I mean, in terms of the equities, you can hear both sides. Because the Lekech says, all you're out of pocket is the amount of the loan. Here, I'm paying you the loan. Or you can hear that the Malvis says, Mr. Lekech, don't get involved. Don't get in the middle over here. You know the reason why I lent the money in the first place? Because I eyed that property. Just in case the lawyer won't be able to pay me back, I'm going to take this property. I don't want you to go and take this property away from me. I want it. There's a lot of potential to this property. Anyway, so who's right and who's wrong? So there's a machlokes. There's nochmah. Then if Lekech has money and says, I want to pay you off, Malchayv, he can't do that. Shopper, then I understand why he cannot go and get a sliver of land for the shvach. He can only get money. If in a situation where the lekech has funds, he could say, here, Baal Choyv, here's the $1,000. If you hold like that, Let's lekech say now to the Baal Choyt. If I had enough money, I would have paid you $1,000 and said goodbye. Oh my. Let's leave Zuzi now that I don't have money, but at the very least, Havli Griva de Arab Aroy, Shish Vachoy, at least give me that sliver of land, 5%, 10% of the land, whatever the amount is of the value of the Shvach. Every Mahakamai is giving you going to Shavya Nihle Apoitiki. This is your question you asked 15, 20 minutes ago.
Yes.
It wasn't just a standard lien on all properties, it was a specific mortgage on this property. To Amalele Helechbo Broin Elamizu, in the original Shtar, it said, yes, you get a lien, but not a general lien on everything. You only have a specific lien on this particular property. Oh, on this particular property, everybody would agree in such a case that the Lekech does not have the right to go and say, here, I'll give you $1,000 and be Masalik, leave, I got you, gave you back your original Choyf. No, here he has a right to go and collect on his appointee. So if he collects on his appointee, what happens at this point? The property is only worth, the amount of the loan is only worth $1,000. The property with the shvach is worth $1,100. Says our Gemara, what did Shmuel Paskin? Instead of giving him a sliver of land, he can go and give him the $100 and be mesalek him bidam.
If the improvement wasn't because of efforts by the lokeach, but lokeach did nothing. Mm-hmm. It was barren land. It was going to be used to develop for real estate.
Mm-hmm.
The real estate market got hot and. Externally, through market improvements,
right. Market
up,
forces
mm-hmm. went up. So, with the same machloka supply, that the certainly if it's an apotiki,
mm-hmm.
the malva can say exactly why I saw this is going to be a great development site, and I want it. That's why I lent the loan, and I'm foreclosing. But can the lokeach go back to the seller, the lova, and say, I missed on the opportunity, the property went up 50%, do you owe me $500? Does he have a claim against the seller for the lost opportunity? Now that he lost, he bought a property, it went up in value,
mm-hmm.
it's been foreclosed on, he's mm-hmm. lost it. Does that claim also go? Right. Even if there's no work, no expenditure, no sales.
What you're asking is whether the term shvach is only man-made renovations,
and expenses.
Or you're talking about whether natural market forces that cause the property to go up in value, does he also get the appreciation? Chveisnish. Okay. Our Gemara doesn't address that. Presumably there are other Gemaras that do, or you'd have to look in the Mefarshim, the Poskim. Zok to Mishnah. Mishnah is very straightforward. Mishnah, Makabel Sodom Mechaveroi L'Shavua Echad B'Shva Meyois Zuz. The Shavua over here doesn't mean a week. Shavua means a period of 7 years. The art school has a very interesting word, septennial or something like that. It's septennial meaning a period of 7 years. I've never heard a word like that, but if there's such a word, no, isn't. I've heard
there
of centennial.
There is now.
Okay, I've heard of centennial, which of course is 100 years. Something like septennial, which is a period of 7 years. So, even Mekabel Son of Mechaber L'Shavua Echad, B'Shva Mi'oizus, they made up that I'm going to get a septennial, which means a seven-year period, not 7 years, a period of 7 years. Shvamezuz, that's how much I am going to pay. We're talking, for instance, chakirus and not kablonus, where he's paying him as a farmer. I'm giving you 700 zuz for a period of 7 years. Ashvius min aminyan. Since in the times of Shemitah, every seventh year is Shemitah, so then the period of 7 years includes the Shemitah year, and therefore, although he's only able to work 6 out of the 7 years, well, that was the deal. 7 years, he pays him 700 zuz, and that's it. However, Kiblei Menu Sheva Shonim B'Sheva Me'ezuz. He didn't say a period of a septennial of Shavua Echad. He says, I'm renting from you this property for 7 years, for 700 zuz. Then Shemitah is not included because it was the obvious intent that it's 7 years in which he's able to work the field and to have produce and income from the field. We're not just talking about a 7 year period, which includes by definition the Shemitah. It was 7 years, productive years. And therefore, when Yitaka wrote Sheva Shanim instead of Shavua Echad, he gets the property, if you will, for 8 years, 1 year of which he cannot do any work. But at least for the same $700, he gets one additional year, if you're on Sheva Shanim, instead of Shvuach. Make sure, therefore, that you have a good rabbinical lawyer when you're writing out your shtars. Now, the second part of the Mishnah is unrelated. and tells us about the famous halacha of Bal Tolin. Bal Tolin means that you have to pay your workers in a timely fashion. If you don't, then you're over on an issur. The Schir Yoim goiver kol halayla. The Schir Yoim can go and collect the entire night, meaning Schir Yoim means he worked the whole day. The day is over. As we'll see in the Gemara shortly, Ein Schirus Mishtalemes El Lebesoyf. You only have to pay at the end of the day. So the day is over. The socher goes to his balabas and says to the maskir, please pay me my wages.
Here's a gemara there.
We have right over here too. Thank you, Rav Shah. Everybody wants it, can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Everybody says, Shali.
I know, Shali. That's my whole life.
Exactly. This is for Shpeitik, Baruch Hashem, Zeta. We're in the middle of the. Yeah.
I guess called Halifa.
We're Zukti Nachmul? We're in the middle of. Okay, then I didn't see you. It's my loss. We're here, Kuf Yud Amid Beis, in the middle of the Mishnah. Where the Mishnah Gemara is telling us the din of Bal Tolin. So Aschir Yoim, he worked the entire day. Now it's 6 o'clock in the evening. Time to leave. This is at the very first point that the Maskir owes him salary for the day that he spent. Throughout the day, he didn't have to pay him because, as we said a moment ago, Schiris ain't a Mishtalemus el Nebesayim. But how much time does the Maskir have? He doesn't have to pay him on the spot. As soon as the day is over, he has the whole night to go and pay. In other words, he has the next 12 hours. Goiva kol halayla. And same thing is fakert. If he's a schir layla, if he works at night, and now he's finished his work in the morning, then goiva kol halayla. Then the maskir has the right to go and pay him the entire day. He doesn't have to pay on the spot. It makes sense and it makes dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I was waiting for that too. Vaita, that's a gabi schir yoim schir layla. What about a schir shoyz? Shoyz, goiva kol halayla. You finish off the entire period of time. So for instance, if this Schir Shoyz worked the night, and he only worked half of the night until 12 o'clock midnight, then he has a chance to go and be goyva the rest of the night, and the next day thereafter, as if he worked that entire 12-hour period instead of only working for part of the time. Schir Shabbos, Schir Chodesh, Schir Shana, Schir Shavua, any one of these people, Schir Shabbos, he gets paid once a week, he gets a weekly salary. Or Schir Chodesh, he gets a monthly salary. Schir Shana, he gets paid a yearly salary. Or Schir Shavua, he gets paid after 7 years. Well, I hope he has some savings in the meantime. Then what's in the Yotze B'yoyim, if he leaves his job at the end of this lengthy period of time during the day, Goyva Kol HaYoyim. Yotze V'Layla, Goyva Kol HaLayla, V'Chol HaYoyim. Nimar, of course, will explain a little bit more. Why is it Yotze B'yoyim Goyva Kol HaYoyim and that doesn't get the additional Laila? Well, Yotze B'Laila Goyva Kol HaLaila V'Chol HaYoyim. Which we'll see that in tomorrow's daf. Getting back to the middle of our Mishnah, Schir Yoyim Goyva Kol HaLaila, look, Yomar Tonoban, McClint and the Bryson. Minayin L'Schir Yoyim Shegoyva Kol HaLaila. How do I know that the payment period is not day, but it's the entire night following the day on which he worked? Tamalim, it's in the Pasuk, Solim Plus Achir, Itcho ad boiker. Don't keep the wages of your worker with you until the morning. In other words, the whole night you can go and pay him. Don't be over in Bal Tolin by waiting for the payment until the morning hours, until the morning has begun. How do I know? Shenemer, you got to go and pay him. He just worked the whole night. You have to pay him during the day. So sounds good, but Freitim of Eim Ipcha. Maybe we should say just the opposite. In other words, the Schir Yoim, let us go and say, B'yoim etitin schare, pay him during the day. Or the Schir Laila, why don't we go and say, L'sol b'lus achi edchad boiker, that you have to pay him during the night. How do you know each time that the Pasuk is to give the masker an additional 12 hours payment period? Like we said before, because Schir Sanam Mishalem is el libesayf. So therefore, if a person worked the whole day, you can't go and say, B'yoim etitin schare, give him payment during the day. The day already ended. So it must be loisel b'lesachir, meaning overnight. Tanravan, Mashish Nemer, it says in the Pasuk, loisel b'lesachir itcha, then the Pasuk continues, ad boiker. Preitimor edi adesh ad boiker. The term loiselin, says Rashi, means lina. Lina, says Rashi, by definition, means you wait until the morning, Where do we know this from? Karbonis. It's in the Pasuk. For Leyolin Laboiker, Zeva Chag HaPasach. Don't go and let it wait and sleep overnight until into the morning. So we know, therefore, that Lina and morning go together. That being the case, why did Pasuk have to add over here Adbaiker? We know the definition. That a person is only over the first morning. In other words, Solka Daita Chamina, every single day that he doesn't pay, he's over another Isser of Baal Talin. Oh, morning number one, he didn't pay. Morning number two, he didn't pay. Morning number three, that after, when he goes here to the Bezin, maybe you can go and give him that one time patch, or two, or three, or four times. Every single day, maybe he has a brand new Isser. That's why it says, Ad Boikin, today you only one Boikin, Boikin Risha. So, Freit Timora, Mikan Ve'elach Mai, what happens after that Boikin? You're telling me now he's off the hook, now he gets a freebie, an extension forever. Marav, Oivim Mishom Baal Tashe. What's Baal Tashe? Is a machloikis in the Meforshim, whether this is an Isser Drabonon, or whether it's in Midrei Sofrim, Midrei Kabbalah, which means just different levels, basically, of Drabana. None of these rise to the level of the Araisa. And the reason why this is instituted by the Sofrim, or by the Chachamim, or by Chazal, is obvious, because otherwise we'll incentivize all employers, after the first day is over, I already is over the Issa, I already ate Chazal once, I'm not going to eat Chazal a second time, I'll be over. So, he was only over. No. You continue to hold on to the money, you're over on Baal Tashe. Where does this word Baal Tashe come from? Rav Yosef. Good. Rav Yosef Mikra. What's Iraya? So again, this is not Iraya, a deraisa. After all, this is not even.
It's a smachta.
It's an smachta. How do we know it's a smachta? First of all, it's not a pasuk in Chumash, it's a pasuk in Mishle. And you notice the Rashi all the way in the bottom, Mikra, last line. Hey, Chiramiza Baal Tashe, where do you have this Shehiyah business, as you're saying, that you're holding on to the funds and you're not paying? Vush Tetas, Shteh Pasuk and Mishle, I'll turn to the Reacha, Lech Vishoiv, yeah, come and go and go and come, and Mocher Etzen, I'll give you tomorrow, Vishoiv, but you probably, I don't know if you've ever been a lender in a bar or lender situation, but if you have, that always what the lawyer says, yeah, I'm coming back tomorrow, yeah, I'm getting into the door, but I'll be right back, and then you come tomorrow, don't do that. If you're the maskir and this person works for you, don't go and tell him, Lech v'shoi v'mochra etzim v'yesh itoch, if you don't have the funds, it's one thing. But if you have the funds and you hired somebody, you gotta go and pay him, and don't let the thing slide, and no delay.
And you should
stop over here, everybody, have a wonderful day.
We have a principle in Korbanos that...